one of the things we're thinking about too. We think about living for the Lord Jesus with eternity's values in view, doing those things, serving Him. One of the most important things that we can do when we serve the Lord Jesus is to take care of our family, to be sure that our families, the members of our family that we're associated with, that they not only know the Lord Jesus Christ, but that they're growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Now, for some time, we have been discussing, going over relationships, husband-wife relationships, father-children relationships. Now, this morning, we're going to talk about children's relationships to their parents, how important that is. I want you to turn to Mark chapter 7 this morning for a passage of Scripture that will kick this off. And please remember, as we study any of these passages, as we talk about these relationships, you must be reminded that the Lord Jesus Christ, since it's His idea, since it's the idea of His Father, the Father in heaven, since He is the one who has ordained the family, ordained the husband-wife relationship, the children, their responsibility, then we know that it has to be according to His plan. It has to be according to what He says. I would remind you of that passage in Ephesians chapter 5. You should have it memorized by this time, verse 18, where the apostle says, "Be filled with the Spirit." Be ye being filled with the Spirit of God. That's the half of that verse. The other says, "Don't be drunk with wine," which is an excess. But the idea is that only by being empowered by the Spirit of God can you really have a relationship that is biblical. And you cannot be filled with the Spirit of God or controlled by Him if you don't have Him. And you can't have Him unless you have Christ. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His, the Scripture says in Romans chapter 9. So it's very important that we understand that if we're going to have relationships together, God's relationships between husband, wife, children, father, parents, whatever, it's going to be according to His plan, not ours, not what we think, but what He says. And we must be willing to bow our hearts and knees to the Word of God and do what God says. Now, notice what Jesus says here in Mark chapter 7. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You for the great plan of salvation that's ours through His wonderful death, burial, and resurrection. We thank You, our Father, His sufferings on the cross have not gone for naught. Many, many thousands of unbelievers have come to Christ and now are in the body of Christ going on for Thee. And we thank You for that. And we thank You for Your Word. Now, Lord, as we study these relationships, this final one between children and parents, we ask, Lord, that You'd encourage us, help us to understand and put into practice what You've given to us so that our relationships one to another would be godly. Now, Father, we commend ourselves to Thee for the salvation of souls this morning and for the ongoing building up of Christians in the wonderful faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask in His name. Amen. Mark chapter 7. Just to give you a thought of the whole passage, the Pharisees have come to Him. They see in verse 2 some of His disciples eating bread with unwashed hands. They find fault. They were always doing that, Pharisees and the scribes. And because they see they do not eat unless they wash their hands in a very special way, holding the tradition of the elders. And they, when they come from the marketplace, they don't eat unless they wash, so forth and so on. They wash everything. At least they rinse it with water, kind of a ceremonial cleansing type thing. And the Pharisees in verse 5 and the scribes asking, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders?" So forth. And the Lord Jesus begins to answer them in verse 6, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups, and many other such things you do. And He said to them, 'All too well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your tradition.'" That's a very important statement that Jesus is making in light of the next few verses. "For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death.' But you say, If a man says to his father or mother, whatever profit you may have received from me is korban, that is, dedicated to the temple, a gift, and you no longer let him do anything for his father or his mother, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition which you have handed down, and many such things you do. You know, it's interesting how easy it is to be traditional-minded. We follow the traditions of men. It's easy once you get into a rut of things. If you follow something that has been handed down to you by someone else, and no matter what God's Word says, it's a lot easier to do what men say than to do what God says. And God's Word has got to be the final authority in every area, every matter, no matter what the traditions of men have been or will be, or how many people follow those traditions. We've got to remember that. And going back here, as we think about Christian children's responsibilities in the home, we know that what God says is more important than what men say. And the Lord Jesus, when he came on the scene, had to do a lot of work straightening out what were just pure traditions of men and what the Word of God said. And here is one of those examples. Honor your father and your mother. He who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. And of course, they had changed that, twisted it around, and said, well, now if you give everything you have to the temple, if you just dedicate it to the temple, and you don't have to give it to your mom and dad, you don't have to take care of them. And you can spend it on yourself because you're a servant of the temple. Somewhat of that nature. But the first commandment, first of the commandments toward men, written to all who have parents, both young and old children, we are told to honor our parents, to value them, to esteem them, to prize them, to think of them as very precious. In Proverbs 28:24, we read, whoso robbeth his father or his mother and saith it is no transgression, the same is the companion of a destroyer. To honor your father and mother is the same as to honor God. That's what we've come up with here in Mark chapter 7. We make the word of God no effect through tradition if we do not honor our father and our mother. And the question is, how do we honor our parents? And this morning, obviously, most children in our congregation are in the Sunday school. They say, well, this doesn't refer to me, does it? Yes, it does. Oh, yes. Because, you see, even us adults, no matter how old we are, if we still have living parents, we have a responsibility as to how to take care of them. And we gave you an outline last week. We didn't copy it again because I thought you would probably bring it back since we hadn't finished. But if you didn't, then let me just give you the outline very briefly, and then we'll try to follow it this morning. If you don't have a copy and you'd like to have a copy, we will get you a copy. But in honoring our parents, there are four things. Well, there are four areas, three things. We heed their authority. That's number one, heeding the authority of our parents. We pay attention to them. Even after we're out of the home, even after we have been married and got children, we still listen, don't we? I mean, there's no such thing. I know the Scripture says, and it's true, in our relationship as far as husband and wife, we are to leave our father and mother and cleave to our wife or our husband. That's the biblical principle. Mother and father have no business telling daughter and son what to do in their marriage relationship. Yet, still, there is that responsibility, though, on the part of those children to listen. Because obviously the parents have, if they're mature, have a certain amount of wisdom that young couple doesn't have yet. And we still need to listen. We still need to honor. At least, if we don't honor the person of the mother and father, we honor the office of mother and father. We honor what they stand for, because the Scripture is clear. Turn with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 6, and let's read that passage again. See what it says. You know what it says, but I'm going to read it for you anyway, and you'll turn to it. We'll read that passage. Children, this is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. There used to be a time And I remember in my day when I was a younger person, when if I wanted to reach my next birthday, if I wanted to live long on the earth, I did listen. I did do what my parents said. So there's a twofold application of that passage, isn't there? The first, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. So we must keep that in mind. The second thing we'll be looking at is hearing their advice, heeding their authority, hearing their advice, listening to them, and thirdly, helping them in advanced age. Sometimes we forget that part. You know, in a day that we live in, and it's ironic that today we are marking January the 20th was the 20th anniversary of the ruling by the Supreme Court on the abortion issue, the Wade versus Roe issue, and how dark a day we've been living in since then, when women were given a right to kill their children before they could be born, be adopted, or brought into this world. We're not going to get into that issue. There's enough of that in the Word of God, and perhaps tonight Brother Bill Kish will give us some more information on that in the Bible, and we'll have a video as well, about a 15-minute video at the end. So keep that in mind. We will have a children's meeting for the children, so they'll not be in here, they'll be in the back with me. But it's ironic that at a time when we're studying this, looking at it, and seeing what the Scripture says, that in this country, and I can't give you the figure now of how many children, their lives have been snuffed out before they started. But you know what? The people who are doing it, they're not going to have anybody to honor them 20 years from now. Plus, they're not going to have anybody to pay their Social Security bills either. I don't think they thought of that yet. That's interesting, because as the number dwindles, we have quite a few people now. Social Security benefits are being taken care of. And they say now that with the upcoming number of people, it's taking more and more individuals to work and support just one person on Social Security. Forget about welfare and other social works that have to be taken care of. So I don't think they thought that thing out yet. By ending the life of their own children, they are forfeiting their future. Really, their own future is being to be taken care of. They'll be tossed away somewhere in the county home and be looked at and die an ignominious death without any family. They'd be sad with them. But that's what we're looking at down the road. Very sad. But that's beside the point. The point is, though, that we are to honor our parents. So let's take a look at how we are to honor our parents as we heed their authority. We're to listen to them. We are to listen to what they say. We must respect parents because of the position that God has placed them in, especially during the years of dependence. Now, you parents, your moms, dads, you have a right to tell your children these things and say, look, this is why. And educate them a little bit. Don't let them get away with this business of thinking they can't honor their mother and father. The reasons why is that it is right. I mean, that's obvious, isn't it? Right here. It is right. It's what the Scripture says. It is the right thing to do. It is right for you. Read what God thinks of disobedience, for instance, in the book of Deuteronomy. Let's turn there a minute to Deuteronomy 21. Let me show you something. Most of you have seen this and you know about it. If you just want to listen, that's fine. But the book of Deuteronomy, the fifth book in the Bible, and chapter 21, let me show you what God thinks of children who do not honor their father and their mother, who are disobedient, who treat their mother and father. The book of Proverbs puts it this way, whoso curses his mother or his father, his lamp shall be put out in utter darkness. His life will be ended. But in chapter 21, in verse 18, this was the law. This is something that had to be brought into play in order for Israel to have a stable families. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastened him, will not heed them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his city, to the gate of his city, and they shall say to the elders of this city, his city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard, that all the men of his city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall put away the evil person from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. It's important that we see that that's what God thinks about rebellion, about stubbornness. In fact, later on, the prophet Samuel would say, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Pretty bad. Stubbornness, you see, in rebellion. Young people don't realize that. And I think the reason why they really don't hear that not is because there's no teeth put into a discipline. It's hard to do that today because of the laws of the land and the abuse and the misuse and there is abuse and misuse and it's wrong. But still the Bible has the correct, balanced approach to bringing children into line, to discipline and bring them to a point where they will listen and learn to honor their father and mother. But if they get to an age where they won't listen, this is what the Bible says God thinks ought to be done to them. Now, obviously, we live under the great age of grace. We don't live under the law. These things, if we did this today, we'd have an awful lot of, it would be horrendous, wouldn't it? This couldn't be put into practice today, could it? But it's what God thinks. That's the point, see. That's how much God hates disobedience, hates rebellion, hates dishonoring of parents, of fathers and mothers. In a connected thought and application of this passage, let me remind you of something. That there was a son who was completely, perfectly obedient to his father. And that son always did what pleased his father all of his life. Never did anything wrong. And yet, you know, he became this stubborn, this rebellious son. And he died on a cross, the Lord Jesus Christ. He became sin for us, he who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God in him. So what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for the stubborn and the rebellious son and people in general is that he has paid the price to take away their sin. Perhaps that's why today we don't have this horrendous standard that we have to adhere to as he did under the law. But think about the end of all things, though. The end of the rebellious, stubborn life. The person dies in their sin. They wind up in hell forever. They will suffer the absence of the presence of God. They will suffer the awful torment all eternity of knowing that they were sinners and did wrong, refused Christ, and now there's no way out. But the Lord Jesus became that stubborn, that rebellious son, although he was not stubborn, he was not rebellious, yet as our sin substitute, he died for us to take us away and keep us out of that sinfulness. So we thank God for that. Another reason for honoring our father and mother, because the Lord says so. It's one of the laws of God to have happiness in the home. And sometimes it's not easy. Children, we've raised three girls, still are, and we know what it is for them. They seem to be frustrated, and you don't want to have to do what you're told off to do, but it's the thing to do. The Bible says so. God said it. We do it. There's no negotiating about what God says in His Word. And then it is right for your parents' sake. Consider the story of Eli and his sons. You'd have to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 2 and read about these sons. These two sons were priests, no less. And they were the sons of Eli, and Eli did not know what was going on in their home. In fact, perhaps we should turn. I want you to turn to 1 Samuel. If you're given the turning this morning and a little exercise with your fingers, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 2. And let me share this just a little bit to show you the danger of not keeping your children under control to the parents. And the danger that children bring on their parents by not doing what they're told. In verse 12 of chapter 2, the first thing we read here is, now the sons of Eli were corrupt. And here's the underlying problem. This is why, as early as you can, be sure that your children hear the gospel. Because the underlying problem here was They did not know the Lord. They did not know the Lord. What a sad commentary on children of a religious man. And Eli was a godly man. There's no doubt about that. But he had a problem. And I'm not going to go over what everything was going on here as far as what they did or what they didn't do. But what I want you to do, though, is go over, and in verse 29, the Lord speaks through another man concerning Eli and what has happened here. We'll just read a few verses, not all of them. Verse 22 to 25, when he was very old, he heard everything his sons did to all Israel. Verse 22, how they lay with the women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle at meeting, the evil things that were going on. And in verse 24, Eli said, "No, my sons, for it is not a good report that I hear you make the Lord's people transgress," and so forth. And going down just a little bit further, I don't want to take all of our time just looking up, going through the verse 27 to 34. In verse 44, "Now this shall be a sign to you that will come upon your two sons, on Hophni and Phinehas, in one day they shall die, both of them." And the reason for it was because of their refusal to listen to their father and for their father to restrain them. Look at chapter 3, verse 11. In verse 12, "In that day I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him," now here's verse 13, look at it, "for I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile, and he did not restrain them. And therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever." That's sad, isn't it? In chapter 4, verse 14, and he going on down in verse 18, when his two sons had died in the battle, in verse 18, it happened when he made mention of the ark of God that Eli fell off the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck was broken and he died. For the man was old and heavy, and he judged Israel 40 years. Here's a man who was responsible for the spiritual welfare of the entire nation of Israel for 40 years. But because he did not have, and for the lack of a better word, he did not have the fortitude to handle his sons. He didn't have the courage to tell them, "No, you can't do that. You will do what I tell you or else," when they were younger, when they were coming up. Now, when they get beyond the age of about 12, you might as well forget trying to tell them what to do. They've already been trained to listen and obey. You're almost too late. But you see the sad picture here. To honor your father and mother is right for your parents' sake. Hophni and Phinehas never saw their father again. They died before he died. But what a sad thing to have lived and realized that your sin was responsible for the death of your father or your mother. But that's what happened. And it was sad. Another reason for honoring our parents is because it is written. In the Word of God it is written, honor your father and your mother. Obviously, the Word of God says to obey your parents. And that should be enough. And I say this for the sake of those who are here today, young people. Do not let peer pressure cause you to disobey your parents. In 10 years, you will not know those friends, but you'll still have your parents. You'll still have to put up with them. See? Another reason, because it's pleasing to the Lord. It brings obedience to God later in life. Let me tell you, if you learn to obey your mom and dad now, you will find it much easier to obey God later on. You will not have that difficulty. Children who learn to obey their parents now, and I say this to parents who say, "Well, I let my children decide where we go or what we're going to do." I mean, it's up to them. No, it's not. It's not up to them. They're not old enough and mature enough to make the right decisions until they're almost your age. You've got to make them for them. If you wait until they get old enough to make their own decision and let them be making their decisions now and not wait until then, they're not going to learn obedience to your authority, and they're not going to learn obedience to the civil authorities, and they've got to wind up in jail. They're going to wind up in civil disobedience and whatever to any authority that tries to tell them what to do. You better learn now to tell them how to honor you, because it brings obedience to God and to authority later in life. In Hebrews 12, we read that child training is what brings blessing to the family. Hebrews 5:8, we see that the Lord Jesus even learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Did you realize that? The Lord Jesus is just a great example of a lot of things in life, and one of them is, as a young child, he learned obedience. He submitted himself to his parents. Here's the God of the universe, the eternal God of the universe, God the Son, whose Father in heaven is the great creator of all things, and yet he, being born in Bethlehem of the Virgin Mary, with a body of flesh and blood like you, with a human mother, yes, but not with a human father. And that mother was used for him to procure a body to be born in. And he submitted to Mary. He submitted to Joseph, his foster father. What a great example. And then later he learned obedience through the things which he suffered. And yet, how can God learn anything? He knows everything. And yet, as a man, he did learn things. This was important. But this is an example, and for no other reason than to point out to you and I how important it is to learn obedience early. And for us to teach our children to learn obedience early. It teaches respect to elders, the Lord, and respect to the wives in the future. I wonder how many families, how many relationships suffered. Husband and wife relationships, which we've talked about a lot. I wonder how many of them suffer because as children, those husbands, when they're little boys, never learned to respect their father and mother. And those little girls who have turned up to be wives with troubles and problems never learned what it was to respect father and mother because they weren't dealt with right. Maybe they were frustrated, see. Maybe they were provoked to anger, like the scripture says to fathers and mothers not to do to their children. You see the implication, don't you? But that's still no excuse. Still no excuse when you see what the power of God can do in saving a soul and changing lives and making us what He wants us to be, a carbon copy of His Son, the Lord Jesus. He wants to see Christ in us, the hope of glory. And then it promises long life. That's another reason for honoring the Lord. It's the only commandment with promise. So we might live a long life. Obedience brings blessing. Doesn't bring guilt feelings. Doesn't bring anxiety. It brings blessing. Our life will be prolonged. Your life will be prolonged. Now I know there are exceptions to that rule. It's hard to understand. For instance, this week we had a very lovely sister who just started coming here with her family. Only 32 years of age, and from what you can tell, you couldn't think of her ever being disobedient to her parents, anything like that, when she was young. Her life was snuffed out at 32. Born with perhaps some sort of an ailment that finally ended her life. We don't know the end of that. It just teaches us that you can't outguess God. As is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. We thank God for that lovely life, though. We're glad she's absent from the body and present with the Lord. Might continue to pray for the family, for the children, and for the husband, that we might still be able to minister to them from time to time. But a general promise, though, of the Scripture, for those who honor their father and mother, is that it does promise long life. Every once in a while, it's delightful to read about someone, and usually it's a black person, about 100, 115, and you ask them, well, how come you live so long? Because I did what my mom and dad told me. I honored my father and mother. They usually say that. Interesting, that testimony that comes across like that. And it's certainly true. It's what the Scripture teaches. That it may be well with thee, a happy home life. I think boys and girls, if they're taught early that if you do what I tell you, you'll be happy. If you don't, you won't be. And usually that's a good reason for being. If you want to be happy, you do what you're told. Now the second how to honor our father and mother is by listening to their advice. One illustration, we won't turn to it this morning, but if you turn to the book of Esther, the story of Esther and Mordecai, especially the first chapter, in the years when we are independent, when we are at a point where we know everything, we can now live our own life, do what we want to, but still, if we want to honor our father and mother, we listen. We heed. We hear their advice. Esther went back, and this is probably her uncle Mordecai, and she asked him for advice, and he gave her the right advice. Now, he didn't have to. She was the queen. You know, she could say, I'm not listening to him anymore. She'd have been poorer for it, believe me. So would the Jewish people. But she listened. And as a result of that, the Jewish people were saved. They went through some awful suffering at that time. But for the most part, the nation of Israel was preserved because she listened to her uncle Mordecai. And she listened to good advice. The leave and cleave principle is a very important principle, but we still owe our parents the respect to listen to them and their advice. I say this to the parents. I say that to me. If we are going to be able to give them good advice and for them to honor us, we have to earn that respect too, don't we? By the kind of lives we live. I mean, there's some husbands and wives, some mothers and fathers, need to learn what it is to be godly ourselves. First of all, you need to be saved. That's number one. And then to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. We study the Word, put it into practice. Then we're going to be able to give good advice to our children, aren't we? But they're not going to learn a thing if we don't learn. You can only teach them what you know. Sadly, we teach them anyway, and they learn bad habits. And then helping them in advanced age. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew 15, just for a couple of verses. Matthew chapter 15, and then over to 1 Timothy. Sometimes this particular object of honor of parents is overlooked. Now, not all the time. I don't want to make a blanket statement, because there are a lot of good people who take care of their parents in advanced age. But in Matthew 15, verse 1 to 6, we're told here to honor father and mother. Again, this is the same passage we've already read, really. In verse 4, God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother. He who curses father and mother may be put to death. This does have absolute direct reference to what we're talking about. In verse 5, but you say, whoever says to his father and mother, whatever profit you might have received from me has been dedicated to the temple. Can you imagine? Here's mom and dad. Poor mom and dad, they're feeble. They're not able to take care of themselves. And now here's the rich son. The rich son says, well, mom and dad, I can't help you. Everything I've got is dedicated to the temple. I'm using it for the Lord's work. That's a bunch of baloney. It was men's traditions. It was wrong, sinful. And the Lord pulled their chain on that one. Turn to 1 Timothy. And a couple of verses here. 1 Timothy chapter 5. And verse 8 and 9. Here we have some explicit instructions when it comes to taking care of our mothers and fathers and those that are elderly. In fact, it has a lot to do with widows who are really widows. They have to be over the age of 60. Honor widows who are really widows. He says in verse 3, if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents. For this is good and acceptable before God. Last week when we talked about parents and the responsibility of children, We read a passage in 1 Corinthians where the parents are supposed to lay up for the children. But don't you see what that principle does? When we as parents lay up for our children to take care of our children, when the time comes, our children are going to take care of us. Hopefully. I'll say that with tongue in cheek. But that's the way the principle goes. That's what it says. See? So you have that responsibility in both ends, don't you? This is good and acceptable before God. In verse 8, but if anyone does not provide for his own, and that has direct reference to our elderly parents or whoever are in need of help, if we don't provide for our own and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel, an unbeliever. Physically and financially, we have responsibility to take care of our mothers and fathers and others in older age. Now, we come to a point, though, we have to be very careful what we say, because I know if it weren't for my wife 3-4 years ago, my mom and dad probably would have wound up in a rest home and probably would have died an earlier death. But where there was a willingness on the part of my wife, we were able to work it out. We took care of them and probably prolonged and extended their life and did everything we could for them. Not everybody can do that. And every family has to be led by the Spirit of God, I believe, as to what they can do and what they can't do. I think the husband and wife have to be together in it. They have to be agreed on it. It's something that you look down the future toward. You know, we talk about living by faith. That doesn't mean that we throw our money away. We invest, we put our money aside, we do what we can so that when the time comes, things are taken care of in a proper way. We don't have the time to talk about financial stewardship and things like that along those lines, but that'd be a subject well worth talking about. We need to be wise with what we have while we still have it, thinking about the future, especially when we have people to take care of, whether it's our parents, whether it's our children. So these are things to think about. And lastly, this morning, when we think about relationships between husband and children and parents, what relationship of children are, here is a relationship you don't hear talked about very much, but it's very important, and it is having a love for a brother and a sister. In other words, in the home, if you are a brother and you have a sister, how do you treat that sister? If you're a sister and you have a brother, how do you treat that brother? How do you get along? How about when you're older now? How about in years now when you're up a little older and you're a little mature, hopefully? What kind of relationship do you have? Having a love for brother and sister is very important. Let me ask you a question. Why do you think that God placed you in a home? If you're here this morning young, and some of the young teenagers back there are sitting, why do you think God placed you in a home and gave you a sister or gave you a brother? You probably said, well, I think he's trying to chastise me. No, that's not true at all. He didn't say, well, I'm going to teach him a few things. I'm going to give him a brother or a sister. No, that's not God's intent at all. But the home is a laboratory for life. In other words, there we are to learn attitudes, to learn godly attitudes toward parents and toward relatives. It's a place to learn how to live life. And let me tell you something. If you learn how to live life well in the family, you're going to get on real well when you get out of that family. If you buck, if you disobey, if you fight and you strain and you hate, you're going to have a terrible life when you get out. You're going to spend years trying to learn how to live. Pay all sorts of money to go to this psychiatrist and counselor and this and that and the other, when the Word of God tells you plainly what you should do, how you should live. The home is a place to build character. And brothers and sisters are put by God into our lives to help us learn how to live and to develop our character. We learn to cultivate qualities of forgiveness and patience. Patience is a virtue. Catch it if you can. Seldom found in women, always found in men. Well, not really. That's Dad Wilson's saying. But it's something we learn by experience. We learn by going through life's experiences, especially in the home. I didn't have any sisters growing up. I think that's why I have 3 daughters, to learn. Boy, have I ever learned. wow, we've had a good time at it. But don't you see? And the bottom line again, when we think about relationships, is God has to be the one who is preeminent in our life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. There's no way that you can do any of these things we've been talking about now for a number of weeks when it comes to relationships if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. I invite you to think about what the Lord Jesus did for you. Like the rebellious son of Deuteronomy, He took that man's place and He died for our sins on the cross. It's only through Him that we have the forgiveness of sin. The only way you can be made perfect, you can be saved and be forgiven, is to have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. We're going to close by singing number 373, Just As I Am, Without One Plea. Perhaps this morning you have finally given up and say, I'm tired of living the kind of life I've been living. I want the Lord to change my life, my family, my brothers, my sisters, my parents. I want to change me. Now's the time. Maybe you'd like the Lord Jesus to be your Savior. We're going to stand and sing a couple of verses.